Before we go to prayer again this morning, I hope that you'll take a minute to take a look at your prayer focus. There's a lot of names, and I hope that you'll keep praying for those folks. Maricela, who's in our praise team, mentioned to me this morning that her mama is in the hospital in Texas this morning too, and so pray for Maricela's mama and those names that are on there. Pray for our nation. And I believe that we serve a God that moves mountains. Amen? And so when God's people pray, things happen. And so I want to encourage you to keep praying. And speaking of praying, let's do that now. Almighty God, we thank and praise you for this beautiful morning. Thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, that we get a chance to come to worship you. And I praise you, Father, for churches that are gathering all over our region, our nation, and the world today. And I just pray again, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit would lead us in everything that we say and do. We want to bring you glory. I pray, Father, that you would revive the church. Wake us up, Heavenly Father. The times that we live in are times of difficulty. The harvest is ripe. Laborers are few. And so we pray to you, the Lord of the harvest. Send us out, O God, as laborers in the harvest field, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but into the week. Use us, O God, to bring you glory. Fill your church with your Spirit. Revive us, O God, so that America sees a turning to you instead of this turning away from you. We need you, Lord. We need you right here this morning. People have come this morning probably with heaviness on their hearts, probably with hurt in their bodies. And so, Father, we just pray, minister to us. Minister to people through your servants at churches gathered everywhere. Minister to those that didn't go to church, won't go to church. Open their eyes to eternity. Help them to see a glimpse of eternity, O God, so that people will turn to Jesus the Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, deny ourselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. We do pray for the names on the focus this morning. We do thank you that you are at work. We do continue to lift them up and ask you to intervene in miraculous ways, in ways of salvation, in ways of transformation, in ways of healing. You are amazing. You are indescribable. You are uncomparable. We praise you this morning, O God. And now as we have gathered here in this beautiful day, all these folks, we've gathered here in this place to worship you. May your Spirit continue to lead us. May your Spirit speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. Revive your church, I pray, O God. And so, thank you that we get to come to church. We get to praise you. We get to sing. We get to worship. We get to thank you. And so guide us by your Spirit. We've come to do just that, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to tell you a little something about my four oldest grandchildren. They're right here. We have nine. The youngest one is the sick one. Catherine had a tough week. You know that. Praise God. Her numbers, her blood count went up a little tiny bit yesterday. We praise God for any improvement. It's been a tough week. But this week we've called upon these four little rascals to pray. And I tell you what, brothers and sisters, if you need someone to pray for you, you call on these four because they'll get it done. They will pray. And they will call upon the God of heavens to heal their little sister. And they'll call on the God that people will know Him, the one true God. They'll pray and they'll pray and they'll get it done. And so Grandma and I figured we should give them a little treat. And so yesterday we took them to the fair. Most of you know that my knee has been giving me a great deal of trouble the last 2 weeks, and the first thing they spotted was an 80-foot fire tower. Now, Tom, he would have crawled up the outside if you'd given a chance, but he wasn't tall enough. There was a height requirement. He wasn't tall enough to even crawl up the inside, so he was disappointed. Someday he'll be big enough, and he'll shoot to the top of that baby, I have no doubt. And Christian, he took a look at that 80-foot tower and he said, I ain't going up there. So that left Clara and Henry and Papa. And I said to Grandma, I don't know if my knee is going to take this. But we got in there and I told Henry, you take your time going up here because Papa isn't going to come too fast. And Clara shot up that bad boy. I was struggling away. I was sweating. And I was hurting. And I was up about 50 feet. Henry was about 60. And he got the trembles. And he decided to come back down. Clara was about 6 feet from the top. And she saw Papa and Henry heading the other way. And see, she come down too. And she got down and she said, "I'm mad I didn't get to the top." And so if I collapse today, that's why. My knees are both shot and my legs feel like rubber. Okay. God is good though, amen?
Amen.
And so I want to look at Mark chapter 10 this morning. If you've got your Bible turned there, will you please? Mark chapter 10. Going to look at a story that I know you know. But this is the story, this is the scripture that God has put on my heart for today. And so this is what I want to share with us. You know, on Tuesday night in our Bible studies, our Tuesday night Bible study is going through the book from War Room. Some of you saw the movie War Room. Did you see that movie about prayer, War Room? Anyway, we're going through that Bible study. And we've seen some really, really good topics. We've had some really good discussion. And we happen to be in chapter 3 right now. It's called Living the Gospel. And I said to our Tuesday night class, brothers and sisters, and I know I'm preaching to the choir Tuesday, and I'm preaching to the choir again today. Saying I'm a Christian is one thing. And living the gospel is another. And so we're in this topic called living the gospel, and it's challenging us to be Christ-like, and it's taking us to the Pauline letters, and Paul is giving us instruction on how to live as Christians. And this Mark chapter 10, it doesn't fit in that study. It's not part of that study. But as I was reading Mark chapter 10 a while ago, I thought, it does go along with living the gospel. And so I want to share with us this morning from Mark chapter 10. And so let's just take a look at these 10, 11 verses. I'm beginning at 17. Now as he was going, that's Jesus, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And so Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." And then Jesus said, "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And he, that's the man that came running up to him, answered him and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth." He was feeling pretty good about his answer. "I have kept all of these from my youth." He was feeling pretty good about the question that he had posed to Jesus. He was feeling pretty good about his inheritance, because "I've done that. I've not murdered and I've not committed adultery and I'm not into that anymore either." And then Jesus said, looked at him, he loved him, and he said to him, "One thing you lack. One thing yet that you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." But he, that's the young fellow that came running up to Jesus and knelt before him and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then the Bible says, Jesus looked around and he said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished, the Bible says, at this. They were astonished at this because in the day, people that had the riches, they were just assumed to be blessed by God. They had been blessed by God. Look at what they got. Here's a young man with riches and material things and possessions, and the outward looking into him would have said, oh, is he blessed by God? And the disciples were astonished when Jesus said this, but Jesus answered again, and he said to them, Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus, Jesus looked at them and said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Hallelujah! Outwardly speaking, this young man, this well-to-do fella, outwardly speaking, and according to the religious leaders of the day, this man had it all together with God. The folks of the day, as I mentioned, looked at riches as being blessed and favored by God. And another criteria that the religious elite would have kept was the adherence to the law, and he nailed that too. And so, this guy seemingly had it all together. It would appear he was a shoe-in into the kingdom of God. And yet he finds himself coming to the teacher, to the master, saying, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He may have come with the confidence, oh, he's going to give me a little pat on the back, and he's going to tell me, you're well done, good and faithful servant, you got it done, you got it made. He may have come with confidence, or he may have really come wondering, but he came nonetheless, and he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And I submit to us today, brothers and sisters, that every one of us needs to ponder that question. I know I've told you before, and I will mention again, I have spoken to many a folk on their dying bed. My neighbors, a leader, my friends around here, many a folks I've visited with on their dying days and their dying in their deathbed. And I have said to many of them, have you considered eternity? And way too often the answer is no, I've never thought about that really. Every one of us needs to ask ourselves and ponder the question, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And we know that God has done all the work. Jesus has taken our sin upon the cross. He has shed His blood. But we still have an obligation to respond to that. And when this fellow was confronted with the idea of having to sell everything that he owned, Jesus said, to follow Jesus. When confronted with that idea, sell everything that I've got? After all, he asked, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to have eternal life? When confronted with the idea of sell it all and come follow me, the Bible says he went away filled with sorrow. Why? He kept the commandments. He prospered after all. Why would he go away sorrowful? Why would this man go away with a downcast spirit and probably a long face and probably slouched at his shoulders, trudging away? He had kept all the commands of God his whole life, he said. Why would he go? Because Jesus wasn't first in his life. And he wasn't going to put him first, and he knew it. His trust was in his treasures. His trust was in his possessions. Apparently, it was too great a price for this young man to say, okay, Lord, okay, I'll do it. I'll do that if that's what you've called me to do, because after all, you said, great will your reward be in heaven. But apparently, it was too great a price to be willing to give up everything, materially speaking, to follow Jesus. Not murdering? No problem. Check. Not sexually immoral? No problem. Check. And all the other things that Jesus said to him. Not stealing? No problem. I got plenty anyway. But sell everything to follow Jesus? He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. In verse 21, Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus looked at him and he loved him. That's how he looks at humanity today. We've been talking about love for a month. He looked at this guy and he loved him. And he said, one thing you're coming up short on. One thing you lack, and Jesus gave him the instructions of what to do. You see, Jesus looks at the heart. He knew he was wealthy. He knew he was keeping the commands of God. Jesus already knew all of that. But Jesus looks at the heart. And he said, one thing you lack. There is still a heart condition to be addressed here. You see, we oftentimes look at the outward appearance. Matter of fact, the Bible says that, but God looks at the heart. Jesus loved him because he was close to the kingdom. Jesus loved him because he was a human being and he loves us. He died for us. Jesus loved him and he knew that his heart was in a place where he loved his riches more than he would follow Jesus. Jesus knew this man was close. I believe he probably actually desired to know God, but not over his possessions. I recall in Scripture, perhaps you do too, Jesus saying the words in another place, unless you deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. And I see us in a time in America, friends, there's not a whole lot of denying going on. We're a proud folk. We've been blessed by God. We got so much. We're not desperate. And Jesus knows our hearts just like he knew that man's heart. And I want to say this morning, friends, if you're trying to work your way to heaven by being good, or getting to church, or even taking a step further and looking at these commands by not killing or not being sexual or immoral or not stealing, etc., 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 I want to say we've missed the mark of grace completely. We've missed it. The grace of God, we've missed it completely. Legally speaking, Mosaic law kind of legality, you remember what I'm talking about? Legally speaking, this man was good. He was a shoe-in to the kingdom. But his heart was not in the right place. His heart was still attached to other stuff. So much so that he couldn't let it go to follow Jesus. One thing you still lack, Jesus said. Because he knew his heart. Listen to me now, friends. I encounter people all the time. All the time. That answer the question when I talk about eternity or faith in Christ. I hear the response all the time, I've been a pretty good person. If you're basing your eternal destination on being good, you're missing the mark of grace. If you're basing your eternal destination on being in church on Sunday morning or baptism or a Bible study or something else, you've missed the mark. You've missed the reason for Jesus. I assure you, there are a whole lot of good folks around. I know I've referred to this, but I just love that conversation that Dale Earnhardt had at the National Prayer Breakfast. You remember what he said about good people? Who remembers? Anybody? The President of the United States was sitting right beside him. The Dalai Lama was in the crowd, and so were a whole bunch of other prestigious people. And he said, good people aren't going to heaven. People that are born again are. And so, if we're basing our eternal destination on being good, we've missed it. This guy was good. And Jesus said, but you're still lacking one more thing. This is a heart condition I'm talking about. And I assure you today, brothers and sisters, there are plenty of good people in and out of the church house that are basing their eternal destination on being good. And the Bible says, you must be born again. Good isn't the criteria and isn't the reason that people go to heaven. Being born again is. And when we are born again, a natural byproduct of being born in the Spirit is probably being good. It's certainly being different than I used to be. Amen? But if we're basing our eternity on, I'm a pretty good person, at least I'm better than he is, we've missed it. I fear that there are many, particularly in America and maybe around the world, I don't know, but I fear that there are many today sitting comfortably in the pews of the church houses of America, or sitting comfortably in their homes, in their journey, basing their eternal destination not on denying ourselves and following Jesus completely, but rather because they're in church or we've been a pretty good person. You know what I'm talking about this morning? I encounter these, I have this conversation on a very regular basis. But I'm a pretty good person, Jim. But I got to church last month, preacher. I fear that there are way too many, and I'm praying that not here today, but I'm praying that way too many are sitting comfortably in life, basing our eternal destination on being good, but have never been born again. And you've heard me say this a whole lot of times. Let me say it again, friends. If Jesus is not Lord of everything, if He is not Lord of all in your life, He's probably not Lord at all. One thing you lack, He told the young man. Sell. Let me see where your heart is at, Jesus was saying. Sell everything that you got and come and follow me. You will have reward in heaven. You will have riches there. And he couldn't do it. He wasn't willing to walk away from everything that he had in his hands to follow Jesus. Everybody around this young man, this rich young man, figured he was good to go. Everybody would have looked to him. And maybe everybody looked sometimes at church folks and said, well, I guess they go to church. I guess they got it all together. Everybody around this young man figured he was good to go because of his life and his works. Jesus did not base this man's salvation and eternal destination on his riches or keeping the law, either one, but rather was Jesus going to be first? That's what he was basing it on. Was Jesus going to be first? In the war room, I'm just about done, bear with me. In the war room, there's a clip where Miss Clara says to Elizabeth, when she's holding her accountable and calling her to task with loving her husband, even though she's got 5 pages of complaints against her husband, Clara said to her, I'm not even reading them. And here's what she said as Elizabeth wrestled in her spirit about holding a grudge against her husband. She said, and I quote, there is not room for you and God on the throne of your heart, Elizabeth. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? There's not room for God and you on the throne. There's not room for me and God on the throne of my life. She said, there is not room for you and God on the throne of your heart, Elizabeth. It is either Him or it is you. It can't be both. You need to step down, she said, from that throne. If you want victory, you have to first surrender, end quote, from Miss Clara to Elizabeth. And that is what Jesus is saying to the rich young ruler in this passage of Scripture. You have got to step down off the throne of your life and let Jesus on the throne. And He might be saying to us today, it might be our wealth, it might be our possessions, but it might be our pride. It might be our anger. It might be our bitterness. It might be our title. Oh, look at my title. I'm a pastor after all. It might be our possessions or whatever. It might be some kind of sin. But until we get off the throne of our lives, Jesus is never going to take His rightful place on the throne of our lives. And if He is not Lord of everything in our lives, He's probably not Lord at all. And so I ask us today, friends, is Jesus really first for you? You see, He knows our hearts just like He knew the rich young ruler. He knows our hearts. He knows Jim's. He knows yours. And I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to sell everything and give up everything to follow Jesus? Are you willing to take up your cross daily, denying yourself and all that you are and all that you have? Are you willing to do that to follow Jesus? He may not ask you to sell everything, but He may. If He did, are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you going to be just like the young man and go away sorrowful because you're not willing to go there? That really shows the condition of our heart. Following Jesus, surrendered to Jesus the Christ, is the only eternal hope that we have. You say, yeah, but Jim, I believe in God. Good. Yeah, but Jim, I go to church. Praise the Lord. Have you been born again? It's a spiritual rebirth. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. And so, Kathy, we're going to sing this song. Jesus said to the rich young ruler that day, sell what you have. One thing you're still lacking, sell what you have. Come, take up your cross and follow me. And as we sing this song, Call Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is calling. I want us to think this morning, friends, can I do it? Have I done it? Have I surrendered completely to Christ? I'm not talking about, yeah, I believe in God or Jesus in the back of the bus someplace. I'm asking us this morning, is He first in our lives? Because that's the only way we're going to be part of His kingdom, when we have put Him first in our lives. And so while we're singing this song, what page is it on? 326. While we're singing this song, friends, I want us to think about that. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. He might be calling you. And if He's calling, will you say, yes, Lord, I'm willing, whatever it takes, whatever you ask of me. If you want to pray about something this morning, you want Richard to pray or myself to pray with you, we'll pray with you. If you want to really surrender to Christ this morning, we'll pray with you for that too. If you want to come to the altar and just kneel and pray while we're singing, that's okay too. But don't go away from this place today like the rich young ruler went away from Jesus. Don't go away from this place today sad because you're not willing to sell. You're not willing to say no to that, to say yes to Jesus. Because eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Don't go away like the rich young man. One day, each of us will cross that threshold of life to death and eternity. And friends, it depends on what we've done with Jesus. Not our keeping the commands like this young rich fellow that came to Jesus, but it depends on what we've done with Jesus in our heart that makes the eternal difference. And so if you're here today and you say, well, preacher, I believe in God, that should be good to go. Jesus would probably say, one thing you lack, you must be born again. Don't wait, friends, to get right with God through faith in Jesus. Surrender to Him today before it's too late. God in heaven, we praise You. Your grace is available. Forgiveness of sin is available. We praise You, O God. We don't have to work our way there. Jesus has shed His blood. You have extended Your grace. All we have to do is believe and receive. Confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says we will be saved. Father God, help us to surrender completely to Jesus. Help us in the churches of America, O God, to be willing to say, whatever You ask, Lord. Help us to be willing, like Peter and Andrew and James and John, to walk away from their nets because Jesus said, I want you to fish for men. Help us to follow You with that kind of desire and that kind of passion, O God, so that the world around us doesn't come along and give us a pat on the back, but sees Jesus in the church. Just like Jesus said when He said, you're the salt, you're the light. Let men see your good works so they'll glorify Your Father in heaven. Father, may the world around us look at the church and see Jesus and give glory to God in heaven. And so, Father, I pray again today that as we've looked at this Scripture, that we'll not leave from here sad because we're not willing to take that step of faith. We're not willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. I pray that we don't go away from here sad, not willing to follow. But we'll go from here rejoicing in our spirit because I'm going to follow Jesus. Rejoicing in the grace of God that's been extended, rejoicing in forgiveness of sin, rejoicing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of Jesus. And so go with us, Father. Strengthen, encourage, equip, glorify Your name through Your church, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.